Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Ooh, amen, amen, praise God. Can I just say something to you about what you're seeing happening is the Word of God does tell us that in the last days, God's going to pour His Spirit upon all flesh. And the way He does it is by your mouth. Is how many of you believe that? The only way He's going to get His message out is by you speaking His Word to those around you. You can be seated. Anybody, if you guys want to be seated, go ahead. That's okay. He's going to be speaking His Word, and His Word's going to be going out because God is doing something in the earth. I believe we're in a harvest like we've never seen before. I believe that God is drawing people into the kingdom because it's getting close. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, you know what? There's a time coming that God says, hey, man, there's going to be a certain amount. You know what? And I don't want to ever see this day, but I know it's coming. The Bible says that there's a big angel that comes and he puts one foot in the sea and one foot on the earth. And he says words like this, he that is filthy, let him stay filthy. He that is righteous, let him be righteous. Isn't that crazy? So those people that made their choices to not serve God, you know what they're going to do? Something's out within them, they're going to get worse. Things are going to start moving backwards on them rather than forwards. And so I'm going to tell you something. God is calling people into His kingdom. He's saying, hey, man, now's the time. Get ready because I'm getting ready to do some things like the world has never seen. How many of you know that when He took Israel out of Egypt, the world had never seen anything like that before? Well, folks, we're headed in a direction where He's going to take the church off the earth. We're headed that way. So get ready. Amen? Hallelujah. Listen. When you're talking to someone, you're out with somebody, just begin to speak God's word to them. I mean, just, it doesn't have to be, you know, where you're preaching at them, you know, where you say, hey, man, you're going to hell. Come on, man. You don't tell them that. You just, hey, you know what? You know what? God really does love you. He really does care about you. If you'll listen for Him, you'll hear Him. How do you know that? God speaks in a real quiet voice. Most of the time, He speaks really, really quiet. And I'll tell you, everybody in the house today has heard Him. You've heard Him speak. You just might not have recognized it when it was Him. But you've heard Him. There's something within you that would say to you, no, you know, you probably shouldn't have said that to that person. Or you know, why don't you go apologize to that person? Or why don't you go take the trash out for your wife? Is that okay? Is that right? So, and a lot of times you might think that's your thought, but that's not your thought. Your thought would be, you know what? I'd rather sit here and watch TV. I'd rather watch the football game. What do you mean take the trash out from one? And a lot of times God will speak to you and you miss it because you think it's your thoughts. But God speaks in a very quiet voice and most of the time you think it's yours. And it's cool, man. If you'll begin to recognize that voice, begin to follow it, you'll find out that God is leading you and guiding you. He wants to take you someplace, and it's really cool. God is good. How many know that? God is good. He's good all the time. Hallelujah. There's nothing like God, man. There is nothing like Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, man, I don't even know how many years ago it was. God gave me a vision about a man standing in front of a road. I was up in a compressor room, I'm going to give you a real brief story about the vision I had. I was in a compressor room, and it was real noisy, lots of noise going on. I had my earplugs in, I had earmuffs on, and I had been asking God to show me something because I was a youth pastor, and I didn't know how to lead them and guide them, because I had no idea what I was actually doing, just kind of like now. I don't know what I'm doing. Anyway, I asked the Lord. I've been begging Him. I said, Lord God, you got to show me. You got to show me what you want. And one day I was up in the compressor room crying out to God, and there was a wall that had a bunch of piping on it and conduit and stuff. And there's a big fan on this wall. And when I was crying out to God, and all of a sudden that whole wall became like a blank piece of paper, or like a sheet was there. I mean, all the piping and stuff, I didn't see it. Didn't even see the fan anymore. All I could see was this white wall. All of a sudden, this pond appears. And then this pond, there's a pipe that runs down. There's a man standing at the end of the pipe, and he begins to speak, he's standing in front of a road, and there's two fields on either side of the road, and basically what I saw was water running out of this pond and running down the pipe into the back of the man. The man, when he opened his mouth, started speaking, all this water started kind of like sprinkling out on the fields that were there on either side of the road. And when that water began to hit them, they began to grow. They were stretching forth. They were growing up. And this was a vision that I thought. And it was something the Lord had. I had been begging for it. For God, you got to give me a vision. I mean, can I tell you something? God has a vision for each and every one of you. But you got to go after it. You really do. You really got to lay everything aside and say, God, I got to know what you want for me today. I need to know it. I need to know why I'm here. You know you're here on the earth for a reason. Do you know that? It's not just so you can go make money, spend money, and then die. That's not what it's about. God has placed you on the earth so you can help people. He's got a direction for you if you'll allow him to talk to you. I thought that vision for my youth group. So I go to my pastor and I say, Pastor, I got a vision. Really? Sure. Yeah, I got a vision. And I talked to him and I talked to him about it. I showed him, drew it out for him. And he kind of looked at me and he goes, that's nice. Real nice. Real nice. And the pastor didn't get what I was saying. And I got upset because he didn't understand me. And I'm going to tell you something. When God shows you something, most of the time, if it's new to you, a lot of folks around you might not know, get it. Because it's new to you. You think everybody's going to understand you. A lot of times it doesn't happen that way. A lot of times it's just for you. He wants to show you what he's got for you. And you got to step into it. You got to walk towards it. Little did I know that vision wasn't for the youth group. That vision was for this building. That vision was for what God is doing here. I thought that the man at the end of where the water was coming down from the lake, I thought that man was me, but it's not me. It's all of you. It's the water that pours from the Father who is at the pond up there. That upper pool, the water that flows from that flows into your spirit, and you begin to speak it out to those around you. And what that does is begin to draw people towards God, not towards you. Can I tell you that? It's not about you. It's about God and what he's trying to do in your life. And that's pretty cool. God really, really is interested in people around you. He's interested in you and all those around you. And he's made us some promises. How many like promises? You know, if God gives you a promise, you ought to hold on to it? Or you ought to just say, hey, man, you know what? Oh, well, he made me a promise, but big deal. No, no, you don't do that with God. When God makes you a promise, you grab a hold of it and you hold on to it. You rehearse it. Is that right? Do you rehearse it?
Yes.
You continue to rehearse the promise that God has given you. Can I tell you that God has given you promises like by his stripes you've been healed? Do you know that? Do you know that your healing has been paid for by Jesus Christ? God said, I sent my son and I paid for these things. God's not messing with you. He's not playing with you. He's serious. When his son died on the cross, he was serious. He says, man, I'm making you some promises, he said. So I will tell you this. Stay in the Word of God. Get in the Word of God. And let God bring those promises to you. Because I believe 3 years ago, 12 people out there in that little room, the little children's church area over there, 12 people. No, I'm sorry. It was 13 people. My sister came. 13 people. We had 12 people in my Bible study and my sister came. But you had to bring your own chairs. So we had lawn chairs. It was bring your own chairs day, man. Within 6 months, we had to move into this side. It just kind of exploded. People were telling people, and all of a sudden, it just exploded. We had to move in this side. We had to keep going from off. Now it's on. It turned to this side where I'm preaching this way, where I used to preach over in that corner this way. Places changed a lot. It's gotten better. Not exactly where we want it, but God has gotten better. God has given us these things. Like I say, it's not me, it's God. It's like I've told you before, I'm from Bisbee. I'm a Mexican from Bisbee. Who would use a Mexican from Bisbee? Only God would do that, man. Come on, man. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. So I thank God for what He's done. I thank God for the for all of you, for everybody that's here, man. I thank God that He's doing a work. He really is. Glory to God. God is saying, you better get to your message. Hallelujah. Praise God. Small, still voice. Thank you, worship team. Thank you. Glory to God. God is good. Wow. God is good. How many believe God has things for you? Can I just say this to you? You have no idea what God has placed within inside of you. It's already there. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says that God has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything you need is already within you. Everything. Hallelujah. Everything you need, it's already within you. But how do you access it? The only way to access the things that God has for you is going to His Word. Because what He has for you will come out of here different, out of the Word of God, different than what He has for people around you. What He has placed in you will appear in different places in the Word of God at different times than what He has for people around you. It's just the way God is. That's why the Holy Spirit has been given to us. Is that right? The Holy Spirit comes to lead us and guide us into all truth. Not so much as a big bunch, but yet, yes, as a big bunch, as a unity of believers, but also very, very personal. He comes to you to lead you and guide you into the truth that He has for you so that you cannot make a mistake. Is that okay? Can I tell you that? If you believe that God has things for you, He's placed them in you, you're going to find that you cannot make a mistake if you're trusting God. You can't. You won't. Well, brother, I made mistakes all the time. You know what? God knew about it. And He made a provision for you to come out of that mistake, to keep you on track. Is that okay? Is that okay that I tell you? I'm saying some things to you. Maybe you might not get it now, but you're going to get it. You will get it. That God has placed things in you that He will reveal them at certain times. A lot of times, that's why you go through trouble. That's why you go through trials. That's why, because God is trying to reveal to you the things that He's placed in you so that you can get past it and keep moving and then help those around you. Is that cool? God is crazy cool, man. Man, I wish I could. It'd be nice if I could just show you God. You know what I mean? Wouldn't that be cool? So, man, you know, this is God right here. This is His big toe. Right here. Yeah, man, this is God. I wish I could show you God, but you know what? You got to find. God has set it up this way. How many know God's invisible? He's invisible, and He's here right now, and He shows up. He'll show up in your life in different ways because He loves you, because He cares for you, because He adores you. Is that cool? That's cool, man. So I'm going to take you to Genesis. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 22. Sounds like I'm in a tunnel. Sound like I'm in a tunnel over there too? Yeah. Okay. How's that? Better? Genesis 22. We're going to talk a little bit about Abraham. Abraham and his wife. Hey, let's pray right now. Father, we just thank You for Your word. Father, we give You all the praise and the glory and the honor for all that You're doing, God. Lord, as we come to Your word, Father, I'm asking You, Father God, that You would not only show me new things, but God, You would show every person that's in this building new things about You. Expose Yourself to them, Lord. Show Yourself strong on their behalf for the things that they're asking You for. And Lord, because they've been here today, let blessing be upon their life. But especially, Father, blessing upon hearing Your word. For it is Your word, Father, that will watch over us and keep us in these days, God. Give You praise and glory and honor. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Amen. Praise God. God's word is good. Amen. Hallelujah. Abraham and his wife Sarai. God had told Abraham, look, God had gone to Abraham and says, look, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. And he says, and Abraham tells God, he goes, hey, what are you going to give me, God? I mean, he says, man, I've got no child. My wife is barren. And and the one that's living in my house, he's a servant. And the way it's going right now, God, everything that I own is going to end up in my servant's hands. But God tells him, no, your wife is going to bear a son. So God had told Abram, a couple of times that Sarai, his wife, was going to have a child. There was even one day he went to Abraham and he told him, Abraham, he said, I want you to quit calling her Sarai, with the last letter is an I. He says, but I want you to begin to call her Sarah. Her name means princess. She will be the mother of many. And Abraham at this time was 100 years old. Sarah was 90. Young ladies, what do you think? Yeah. 90 years old. Abraham has been just promised a son. So much so that God said, hey, his name's going to be, you're going to call him Isaac. And Abraham laughed and he said, hey, shall a son be born to a man or a woman that's well stricken in years? That's crazy. How many of you like to start chasing around a little infant being 100 years old, 90 years old, man? You know that Abraham lived till he was 175 years old? 175. So he was around 100. Sarah, he had just gotten the promise that God was going to give him a son. His name was going to be Isaac. Sarah laughed in the tent. She goes, yeah, right. We can't do that. We're too old. How many of you ever said that? I'm too old for this. Anybody ever said that? I know with my grandkids, when I'm running, my wife, I'm getting too old for this, man. I can't. Guys take a lot of energy to keep up with. My wife keeps up with them well. I keep up with them well for about 5 minutes. And then it's, go ahead, babe, take them. The next year, Sarah has Isaac. And man, there's some rejoicing going on. Number one, it's a miracle. How many know that's a miracle? I mean, that's something. When a woman has left being able to bear children, God says she's going to bear children. I'm going to tell you something. Hey, you best believe God what he's going to tell you. When he tells you something, let it say, okay, sounds crazy, but I'll believe it if you said it, Lord. I'll believe it. God had told Abraham that. And sure enough, Sarah had a child. And what was his name? Isaac. He called him Isaac because God named him. All right, his name shall be called Isaac. God named this young man. So somewhere about, I mean, this, I was reading a commentary and it said between 9 and 15 years later is where we're going to come into this story. So that would have put Abraham probably, let's just say it was 15 years, put him at 115 years old. And Sarah at 105 years old, 15 years later. And that's where the story we're going to talk about. We're going to go in. So let's look at Genesis chapter 22. And it came to pass that after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. That's I love that. I mean, I hope I can preach, get through this, man, because there's a lot of good stuff in this thing. And one of the things is when God said, Abraham, you know what? Abraham had gotten so used to hearing God's voice. He said, yes, here I am, right here, man. What's up, man? What's going on? That's cool. And that's where I want to be. I want to be where God, when he says something to me, I say, yeah, I hear that, Lord. I heard it. I hear it. Amen. Might not get it, but I heard it. How many of you guys have been there? God has said something to you. You didn't get it, but yet God's got it for you. And then, but I'll tell you, once you hear it, God will begin to focus your life into what he's trying to say to you. And that's cool. So he said, here am I, he said. And he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and get you into the mountain of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for a burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Can I tell you something? I don't know how you feel about that kind of a situation. I would not like to step into this situation at all, where God told Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son, your only son, the one you love. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that Abraham got up the very next morning, saddled his donkey, got the wood ready, vamanos, told his son, let's go. Did not hesitate. How many of you would have hesitated on that? Would say, hold on, man, I can't. Now, wait a minute. Did I hear you right? Wait a minute, God, let me pray on this. Is that right? A lot of times we want to pray on stuff. Let me pray on them. God had spoke to him and said, I want you to do this. Take him up on the mountain. Sacrifice him. How many of you know God's not a God of human sacrifice? Do you know that? And I wonder if Abraham knew that. Man, wait a minute. This is different. What's different about this, God? There's something very different about this. You want me to take the son that you have promised that he would be the father of a lot of nations. You want me to take him, and you want me to take him up to the mountain, build an altar, throw some wood on top, and sacrifice him there. Are you kidding me? Abraham rose up the next morning and left. Man, that's cool. Obedience. Can I tell you that obedience is important to you? The name of this, the title of the sermon today is Strength Through Obedience. Do you know the more that you obey God, the more strength will come to you? You will begin to put on more things because you're obeying God. Is that okay? I'm going to just leave you with that for a second. Hallelujah. Obedience. And Abraham said to his young men, abide ye here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Innocent young man, right? Man, carrying his own wood, carrying his own, oh boy. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide him a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. What I like about this story is Abraham's total trust in the God that he serves. Total trust. You know, Proverbs chapter 5, verse 3 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Do you know that most of the time we're trying to figure things out on our own? Do you know that? You guys realize that? That we always try to figure it out on our own. Where God is saying, if you just let me help you, I'll show you, I'll take you, I'll lead you, I'll guide you, and you'll get there. But no. Hold on, God. Let me figure this out for me. We have a tendency of doing that. But what I like about this story is Abraham just totally trusted God. Totally trusted God. Do you see where he said to the man, to the young men that were with them, wait here and we will be back. We'll be back. In the book of Hebrews, it talks about Abraham knowing God to be true to his word. He knew he was true to his word, so he figured, well, if I kill him, he's just going to have to raise him up because the promise is already on him. The promise has already been here. Here's where the promise is. You told me to kill the promise. I don't kill promises from you. So God, if I kill it, you're going to have to resurrect it. That's just God's idea. That was Abraham's idea about what God can do. How many know God is able to raise people from the dead? Hallelujah. That's why Jesus rose from the dead. That's why everything. Easter, that's why we put out chocolate bunnies and eggs. That's why. Come on, man. Jeez. It's time to grow up. No, I'm just kidding. That's why. Because the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God is able to do those things. And Abraham's got so much faith in his God. Okay, good. I'm good. I'll do it. Woo. The Word of God says, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built there an altar and laid the wood in order, bound his son Isaac. Can you imagine? Dad, what are you doing? Calm down. Dad, what are you doing? Calm down. Tying his feet, tying his arms. Dad, it's okay, son. Dad picks him up, sets him on the altar. Dad, I can't imagine that. I can't even imagine it with my kids, with my grandkids. I can't, or any of you, I can't imagine what he was going through. And with his son going, Dad, looking at him with total trust. Dad, what are you doing, Dad? Dad, what's going on, Dad? Do you notice how he didn't try to explain it to his son? It's okay, son, be all right. We'll be good. Oh, man. He bound Isaac, his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Man. This is the part I like. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And isn't it good that he was used to hearing God's voice? Isn't it good? Because God is able to stop you when you're doing something wrong, is that right? Or when you're getting ready to do it. It's good to know what God's voice sounds like. It's good. And he says, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And the angel of the Lord called to him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here am I. And he said, lay not your hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For I know now that thou fearest God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of a son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mountain of the Lord it shall be seen. Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. And you know, when I was thinking about this story, and I'm thinking, I said, God, it's, you know, how many know the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof? You guys know that? How many of you know that? This whole shooting match belongs to God. The whole thing, it belongs to God. He even says another place, all souls are mine. Is that right? How many know that all souls, everybody on the planet belongs to who? Belongs to God. Everyone belongs to God. Yes, everyone. Come on. I know you guys think about Hitler. Yeah, Hitler. Everyone will give an account to God. That's just what the Word of God. God says, I own it all. Everyone on it, everything on it, it's all mine. I made it. Everyone will give an account. Oh, you don't believe me? Come on, man. Hey, let's look at some scripture. Let's go to Psalms. It'd be nice if I opened my word. Psalm 24, verse 1. So what the Word of God says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell on it. I like that. That's the Word of God. That's what God says. He says, it's mine. Mine, mine, mine. Praise God. The whole earth. And then you see that part where it says, and they that dwell on it. That's you. Is that right? That's us. We belong to Him. Whether we believe it or not, whether we know it or not, does not make a difference with God. We belong to Him. We are His. Everybody. It's cool, man. Here's another one. It says, it's Psalm 89:11. Take these down if you get a chance to write these, some of these scriptures down, because they are good for you. It says, the heavens are thine. The earth also is thine. That word thine means yours. As for the world and fullness thereof, you have founded them. Basically saying, hey, you built this thing, you've made it, it's all yours. Hallelujah. Problem with today, a lot of men think it's theirs. Is that right? There's a lot of rich guys out there that think everything belongs to them. They have a real nice awakening headed for them if they do not listen to what God is saying. Is that right? There's something coming down their lives. The heavens are yours, Lord. They belong to you. Now, what's funny, it's crazy, but God gave this thing to us. Is that all right? I want you to look at this. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Check this out. You might not think that this is about obedience, but it is. It really is. This is all about obedience, because what's going to take for you to receive from God what He's trying to get you is some obedience. Some obedience to His Word, some obedience to what He tells you, some obedience, some more obedience. Just obey God. Hallelujah. And here it is in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 said, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have what? Dominion over what? Dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air. And then I like this part, over all the cattle. And then what's this part say? And over what? All the earth. I want you to pay attention to that, because he says, I want them to have dominion, fish, cattle, birds, all the earth. Every part. This is not man. I did not make this up. I didn't tell them to type it up like this. This is the word of God, guys. Really, this is what God's word says. He says, over all the earth and over every creeping thing, all the creeps out there. Just kidding. Come on. Every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Is that right? You have dominion over it. Rule over it. Praise God. How many of you know that? I'm going to tell you that God has been talking to the man, been talking to the body of Christ, been talking to you who will believe him, trying to get you to understand this is your inheritance. Receive it and take it. Rule over it. That's what he told Adam and Eve in the garden. Rule over this thing. That's the way he set it up. How many of you know that Adam made a little mistake? Is that right? I mean, he desired more of the wife that he could see than the God that he couldn't see. So he went after his wife, ate the fruit of the garden, whatever that was. Some folks say it's an apple. I don't know. Made that mistake. And what Adam basically did was turn this world over to the enemy. That serpent that was in the garden, he turned it over to him. He says, here it's... When Jesus came, he said, I came, I'm going to take the keys of hell and death out of this guy. And that's what he did to do. He came and took the keys of hell and death from the enemy. So Jesus is the holder of everything. And the word of God says that he gave it back to us. It's called redemption. Praise God. But check this out. Psalm 8, verse 6 through 9. I think it's 4 through 9. Is that right? What is man that thou art mindful of him? And a son of man that you visit him. For thou have made him a little lower than the angels and has crowned him with glory and honor. This is you. He's talking about you guys. Everybody say, this is me. Say, this is me. He's talking about you. Say, this is me. Say, this is me. He said, he made you a little lower than the angels and he crowned you with glory and honor. You made him to have dominion over what? The works of your hands, and have put all things under his feet, all sheep, donkey, oxen, yea, the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea. Whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas, O our Lord, how excellent is your name. Can I say that to you? Can I tell you that he has put you in possession of this earth? And let me just say this. Take possession of just your yard. Is that cool? Take possession of your house. Say, hey, man, you know what? Nothing that's contrary to God can stay here or live here in the name of Jesus. And just begin to take possession over it. And that's all you do. You just say, hey, man, hey, tell your fruit trees, I give you permission because of what I've been, I give you permission to grow as much fruit as you want. Hallelujah. So I can feed the nations. Is that right? Just take possession. Hallelujah. But see, folks, this is the greatest. You got to believe it. You got to believe what His Word is telling you. You have to. You don't believe it, doesn't work. God knows your heart. Believe it. I have put it in my heart to say, Lord, whatever Your Word says, and it says in Psalm 119, I have considered everything in Your Word to be right, period. Hallelujah. I think that's why He's got this little Mexican Bisbeeanite here in this house, because I will hear what He has to say, and I will say it. I will speak it. I'm not afraid to speak what God has been showing me. Hallelujah. And folks, I think that's what He's looking for in all of our lives. Not just mine, all of our lives. You are a water well. Do you know that? You are a wealth of the waters of life if you'll just allow yourself to be. Just believe God to do that for you. It's cool, man. Amen. Amen. That's what I like. Come on, man. Hallelujah. It takes obedience. Is that right? How many like fish stories? Anybody like fish? Carlos, do you fish? No. Nobody, I don't fish either. Except for people. I'm a fisher of men. Amen. Hallelujah. I like fish stories. But I want to tell you, I got this. There's a story that I just love this story. And there's purpose in this story. And there's a lot deeper things that are in this story. So I want you to turn to Matthew. I want to go to Matthew chapter 17. I want you to hear this story. It's a cute story. It's about Peter and Jesus and money. How many like money? Anybody like money? No money? Yeah, money. Taxes. How many like taxes? Come on, man. You guys are getting interested in the story already, aren't you? Money, taxes, and stuff, man. Matthew 17. Starting at verse 24, it says, when it says they, it's talking about Jesus and His disciples. When they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute or taxes, money, tribute money, came to Peter and said, does your master pay tribute? And Peter said, yep. That's all he said. Yes. Yeah. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him or stopped him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon Peter? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute, taxes? Of their own children or of strangers? And Peter said to him, of strangers. And Jesus said unto him, then are the children free. Then are the children free. I want you to look at this, because Jesus is saying something very definite to us. Because he says right after this, lest we offend them. We finish the story. He says, notwithstanding, lest we offend them, go thou to the sea, cast a hook, take up the fish that first comes up, and when you have opened his mouth, you shall find a piece of money. Take and give to them for me and thee. Pretty cool, huh? But one of the things he's saying to, he says, the kings of this earth, do they charge their own children for things? And Peter goes, no. It's the ones that are subject to that king. There's his subjects, but not his children. And can I just remind you that you are children of God? If you believe that God died for you, you are a child of God. All your provisions. Don't get me wrong. Don't think I'm telling you not to pay your taxes. You got to pay your taxes, okay? But I'm going to tell you the things that you need, God, it will support them and supply those things for you, because that's who He is. Just like He told Abraham, I am Jehovah Jireh, your provider. I will provide for you. I will provide for you. I will provide for you. I will take you out of the mess that all those creditors are trying to drag you down. Is that right? I'll take you out of that mess and I'll set you in a place over here, and you will no longer have creditors calling you. Hallelujah. Is that good? I love that. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Get those guys off my back. Hallelujah. But what's crazy in this is the story that the command that he tells Peter. He says, you know, go over to the ocean and throw in a line and go fishing and bring up the first fish you bring up. This is the fishy story, amen? And I like to call the little fish, I want to call his name is Oídos. Does anybody know what Oídos is? What is it, brother?
It's hearing.
Hearing. Or ears. Yeah, or ears. We're going to call it, is that right, Carlos? Oídos? Yeah. The name of the fish is hearing, ears. He's got ears. Hey, do fish have ears? Some of you fishermen, do the fish have ears? I don't know. Apparently they do, I guess. I don't know. But Jesus tells Peter to go to that, and he says, and when you pick up this fish, you're going to open his mouth, and you're going to find a piece of money in it. Take that money and go pay our taxes. Peter says, okay. What I like about this story is the obedience of Peter to do what Jesus told him to do, because he believed that, you know what? I'm going to go fish. I'm going to get the first fish, open his mouth. Hey, look. What a coincidence. Toss the fish back and go on. But what's even more kind of crazy about this story is the fish. The little oídos, they call them. The little fish. Can you imagine that fish swimming merrily, merrily along? Water. Yay, man, this is nice. I love it here. And all of a sudden, he hears the Lord say, what are you doing, oído? He goes, hey, man, I'm just swimming along here, having fun. Hallelujah. Staying out of sharks' ways. And he says, hey, man, he goes, I got something for you to do. Okay. He says, I want you to go over by the shore and pick up a coin. There's a coin laying out there. I want you to pick it up. I can imagine oído going, hey, you know what? I don't eat coin. That's not my food. But nevertheless, for you, Lord, I'll do it. The little fish goes over and he finds a coin, picks it up in his mouth. Okay, God, what do you want me to do with it now? Now what? Because I want you to get over close to the shore. Okay, swims over close to the shore. And says, now, here's the kind of a hard part. You're going to see a hook in the water. I want you to get on that hook. What? Can you imagine that fish? Are you kidding me? I know what they do to folks. I know what they do to fishes. Come on, man. Come on, God. Are you kidding me? Nevertheless, because God had spoken to this fish, sees Peter's hook, grabs a hold of it. Can I tell you that's a sacrifice? Can I tell you that? Obedience by hearing. You see, we read scriptures, didn't we? That he said, have dominion over the fish of the sea. Is that right? Over the cattle, over all those things. God told Adam to have that. And Jesus bought that back for us. Because I was thinking, I said, God, why would you tell a story like that? Why don't you just tell him, hey, go to Judas. Judas had the bag. Is that right? Judas had the bag. He said, just go to Judas and get the money. Why did you make Peter go to the seashore to do that? Why would you even make... Lord, are you showing off again? How you know? You know, when he got out of the boat, when he was walking up to the boat on the water, was Jesus showing off? Was he showing off? Was he showing off? He was not showing off. He wasn't showing off. When he told Peter, go to find that fish and get the money out of him, was he showing off? Mm-mm. You know that Jesus, I want to put up Romans chapter 8, verse 3. Romans 8, verse 3. I want you to look at the scripture real quick, real good. Why did Jesus come? Why did he come? I was taught all my life, you know, he came to die for my sins. Yeah, he did that. But in dying for our sins, he redeemed us back into the original purpose that God had placed in our lives. At the garden. God, it took all that time for God to get, for us to get in a position where Jesus could come, and then Jesus died on a cross, to redeem us back to what God had intended for us in the first place. Pretty cool. Here's chapter 8, verse 3. It says this. This is the reason why he came. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his only son in the likeness of sinful flesh. I want to stop right there. What the law could not do. You know that people were under the law. God had established the law so that he could teach them about, well, for one thing, how to live with one another, how to be true to one another, how to live right. But the people couldn't keep a law. Is that right? They kept breaking the law because, you know, people get mad at each other. They fight. They kill each other. And all sorts of stuff happens because they've got no idea how to live right. So he sends his son to do what? To fulfill what the law could not fulfill. That's why Jesus came. And then it says, and for sin. You see that there? He condemned sin in the flesh. He says, God sending his own son, the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So what God did was he removed the sin from all of our lives. Is that cool? Forever. I'm going to say that thing out, forever. Remember last week we talked about how Moses struck the rocks the second time? Jesus is only going to die once for sin. How many know that? He paid it all. Every amount of sin that this earth could ever come up with, it's already paid for. Jesus paid for it. Oh, you got to believe this. Because this is how you get to that place. Let me show you some more scriptures. What the law could not do. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45 says this. The last Jesus. So it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening bone. Why would the apostle write the first Adam and the last Adam? There's a reason for that. This world had never seen righteous men on the earth, except for Adam, number one, who failed. Is that right? He dropped the ball, messed up. But Jesus, who did not fail, came. So this world has really only seen two righteous men. But I got news for you. Anybody that believes in Christ and what he's done, that's who you are. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You know what? Can I just say this to you? The world needs to see it. They need to know it. They need to know who you are. They need to know how powerful God is in this world. Hallelujah. Man, I tell you. The second Adam was what? A quickening spirit. Romans 5:8. Check this out. Word of God says this. But God commends his love towards us that in while we were yet what? Sinners. Christ did what? When you didn't even know him, you didn't even thinking about him, he wasn't even in your mind, he died for you. He called your name. Everybody say your name real quietly to yourself. Did you guys do that? Because I can't hear you. Call your name. I said, like Henry. When he died on that cross, he was called your name. You don't think so? Watch this. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. Check this out. I want you to. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. You know what that handwriting of ordinances was? That was the devil. Oh, yeah. John's a liar. No. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Anthony, he stole a car. And can I tell you, there was a whole bunch of things written down against us that God, that would say, hey, man, that would keep us from God. But the word of God, God came and he took it. Jesus took it. Those things that were contrary to us, and he nailed it to the cross. Nailed it to the cross. Hallelujah. We're coming up on Easter, resurrection. But do not forget about the week before. Do not forget about what Christ has done. Easter Sunday, we're going to have four guys speaking up here. Because I believe in building ministers for the kingdom of God. How many know that? Hallelujah. We believe that here. I believe each and every one of you are ministers for the kingdom. I believe each and every one of you should take a time at this pulpit. How's that cool? Is that cool? Because God is in you.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And you've got something to offer me.
Amen.
That's the word of God, man. That's actually true. Hallelujah. He paid that price. He got it out of the way. And 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 says this. For even hereunto you were called, Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Simple word. Pretty cool. He left us an example. Can I tell you, this is the reason why he came. He came to demonstrate what a man or woman of God looks like on the earth. That's his purpose. That was his purpose. When sin is pushed away, this is what a man of God or woman of God looks like. Hallelujah. This is Jesus walking on the water. Next time you're at a lake and there's a little girl out there drowning, don't swim out to her. Just run out there to her. Come on. Pick her up and go with her. Sounds funny, doesn't it? But it's according to you. It's according to how you believe. The word of God, God is very clear in this thing. He says, according to your faith, it shall be done unto you. You can believe anything that's in that book if you will. Hallelujah. People will make fun of you. Is that okay? Is it okay? Come on, man. What do they have to do with you and God? What do they have to do? Nothing. What can they tell you? Tell me all you want, but you know what? As for me and my house, I'm gonna go with God. I'm gonna let him take me there. I want you to tell you something. God has been hammering me with a scripture, and I'm doing my study for the sermon this morning, and this is on obedience. And it's also on your position. Who God has made you and where he's placed you. You are more than what you ever thought you were. God has got more for you than you've ever believed. He really does. You got no idea how much he has purposed and planned in you. You just got to go after him for it. You got to say, God, show me what it is. I want to know. And you watch what God does. He will begin to walk you and take you there. But he's been hitting me with a scripture lately, and I want to put it up. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And and can I tell you, I still don't know exactly what God is trying to say to me about this, except a few weeks ago, I spoke it to the leadership team. Again, this week, I spoke it to the leadership team. Yesterday, I spoke it to the men's breakfast. And I'm about done with my message, and here it comes floating in. I can hear God speaking it to me. And I said, oh, yeah, now I got it. I got my message done. Now you want to talk to me about this again. Are you changing my message, Lord? I'm going to go to bed. And he says, and when I began to look at it, I said, well, it does fit. It really does. God is trying to speak something to this body. This is Paul the Apostle, and he's talking about how he's preaching it. You know, can I tell you that Paul never... I don't believe that Paul ever prayed that he wanted to go out and preach the gospel about Jesus Christ. How many know that? I don't think he ever prayed that before he was while he was growing up in the church or in the temple. I don't think he ever prayed it. But when he got saved, when God, the conversion hit his life, and he began to say yes to God, I'll go, yes, God, I'll do that, yes, Lord, I'll go to Jerusalem, talk to Peter and James, yes, I'll do that, I will go into Macedonia, I'll do all of that, God, anything you want me to do, I'll do. This is what he says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. You see, there was a conversion in his life. He became a son of God. He became a Christian, and there was something heavy upon his life. He says, I need to preach the gospel. I have to preach the gospel. He says, yea, woe is me. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Now, that's pretty cool, but that's not the part that really got a hold of me, that is still getting a hold of me today. because I really, really do not know what God is trying to, either He's speaking it to me, maybe somebody in here that He's speaking it to, that He's saying to, look, you got to pay attention to what I'm saying to you here. But He says this, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. Listen to me. Listen. If I do what I do for God willingly, He says, I've got a reward. Let me just say this to you. Most of the time, people will do only what they want to do. Is that right? Listen, I'm not trying to get down on you or anything. I just want to just the facts. We will do what we want to do. Sometimes your wife will make you do what you don't want to do. But for the most part, we will do for the kingdom of God only the things we want to do. Well, brother, I'm called. I'm just called to painting walls. Okay. Well, brother, I'm just called to greeting. Hello, how are you? Good morning. How are you, Steve? You're looking good, man. I'm just called to greeting. Okay. But when God comes to you and speaks something to you, will you do it or will you give Him that excuse? Hey, I'm just called to greeting. I'm called to, hey, I'm a preacher. I don't go out and whatever, clean people's yards, whatever. What's cool about the scriptures is I have a reward. But if I do it against my will, do you see what Paul's saying? He says, if I do it willingly, I have a reward. But then he says, but if I do it against my will, ooh, we got a screamer back there. Yeah, come on, man. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's a future worship leader. Come on. It says, man, for I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But he said, but if I do it against my will, a dispensation. I want you to look at that. A dispensation of the gospel is committed to me. I want you to look at that again. A dispensation of the gospel is committed to me. Listen to me. A dispensation of the gospel is committed to you. It is committed to you. It is committed to you if you do it, even though you don't want to do it. Is that right? Let me just remind you, Jesus said this. He says, not my will, Father, but your. Jesus had said, I will, God, if it possible, will you remove this from me? Let's find some other way. And then he goes back and he says, it's not my will, Father, but it's your will. See, Jesus did it willingly, but not willingly. Can I say that? Can I tell you that? And that's what I'm telling you today. If you will do for God willingly, whatever he asks you to do, whatever you see a need for, say, hey, there's a need over there. You know what? I don't do that. I'm not much of that, but I will help. I will come into that. I will tell you that it says a dispensation of the gospel. God will open things up to you from the kingdom. Do you get that? A dispensation of the gospel will open to you. Woo, come on. Folks, that's what he's calling us to. What you might make a decision to do, even though you don't want to do it right now, you step into it, and then God sees you step into it, and he says, that's what I'm looking for. He opens something else to you. And you keep stepping. Remember I said how you would follow his steps? You keep stepping. You keep doing what God has for you to do. And I will tell you that God will take you to the place where he wants you to be. And I will say that that place that you want to be was a place you wanted to be all the whole time. It's because it's what he created you to be. He knows what he created you to be. I will tell you, most of us in the room don't even know what he created us to be. We got no idea what we are, who we are, and why we're here. But if you allow him to take you, he says the dispensation of the gospel will come flooding into your spirit. And then without a doubt, you can say, this is what I've been looking for. Come on, man. Hallelujah. That's what God wants to do in your life. Hallelujah. It's no different. Paul went through it. I did not pray to do this job. Can I tell you that? I never prayed. God, I want to be a pastor of church. As a matter of fact, I was getting close to retiring, and I was telling Rosa, hey, man, we'll just help Pastor David up there. We'll just go over there. We'll do that. We'll sit in the back, and we'll take it easy, man. We'll just... My wife would tell me, Henry, I think God has something for us. Shh. I don't think so. No way. And then when she told me, she goes, I think he wants us to pastor a church. I said, you're kidding me. You need to shut up, woman. I bind you in the name of Jesus. No way. I'll tell you, man. I had no idea. Would I have chosen this on my own? No.
But I have found, because of my willingness to step into what God says, hey, will you do this for me? I'll do it. I'll do it, even though I don't know how to do it. I got no idea how to do it. I'll do it. I have found that I like it. I love it. I love preaching the Word of God. I love it. Do you hear what I'm saying about the dispensation of the gospel being opened up into you? We've got more, folks. There's more going to happen here, man. That back end is going to be open. It's going to be full of folks. They're going to be worshiping. Pastor John and I, we're going to be in Tahiti somewhere. Relaxing, because we got men and women of God that we can trust with the gospel of Christ. Can I tell you that? I trust you. Hallelujah, because you're called of God. Hallelujah. Not up to me to find out who you are and what you are. I mean, you know what I mean? Not to dig into your past. I trust God in what He's doing here. I trust Him with everything in my life. Father God, hallelujah. Obedience is a key. It's a key of strength to you. Every time you obey, God will strengthen you and strengthen you. Have you guys had enough? I think we've had enough. Could you guys stand? I'm going to pray over you. We're going to open the altars for those that might want prayer. There's a lot of times while you've been hearing the Word of God preached, a lot of times the Holy Spirit will pinpoint something in your life, and sometimes you just need somebody to pray with you. We're going to have the prayer team up here. Pastor John and his team is going to be up here, and if you got something you want to just say, I just want to pray through this, God would help me. Somebody to agree with? Woo! There's power in agreement. Hallelujah. Then come forward, okay? So I'm going to pray for you, and right after that, we'll open the altar. Father, we thank you. We thank you for what you're doing, Lord. We thank you for purpose and plan that you have for each and every one of our lives, God. Father, I ask you, Lord, that you would reveal your workings and your ways to those that are here. Father, show them what you have for them. But God, I ask you, Father God, that you would greatly honor their obedience, Father. Greatly. Let them see. Let the manifestation of your being for them, let it be seen in their lives. I thank you for it, God. I praise you for it. I give you all the praise, glory, and the honor. Thank you, Lord, for 3 years of being in this house. Thank you, Lord, for what's to come. Great things because of who you are, Father. I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. If you want to come to the altar, that'd be fine. If you're not